You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
It is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I have an exciting guest for the program today, and his name is Michael J. LaPierre. Mike is a business executive who specializes in Christian leadership training and development. A former minor league baseball player, his executive experiences include VP of Sales, Director of Sales and Marketing, Director of Global Sales Strategy, and other leadership positions with companies like UPS, Arnold Industries, Lilly Transportation, and Roadway Express. Mike is also an entrepreneur, church servant and deacon, community leader, and founder and current president of Christian Leadership Worldview International. Mike LaPierre, welcome to the Career Callings Radio program, sir. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, Robbie. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
I'm excited to have you on the program today, and I just kind of gave a brief overview of who you are a few moments ago. So tell us a little bit more about Mike LaPierre and how you got to where you are in your career today.
Yeah, sure. I've been married for 31 years now. I have three children and four beautiful grandchildren. So I guess you'd call me an old timer. I'm getting up there in age, but as far as my vocation, you know, God has done some amazing things, with me, I guess, over the years. As you mentioned, I started out in minor league baseball. Once I graduated from college, I ended up going to Brown University and shortly thereafter signed a professional baseball contract. And that was interesting in and of itself. God used that experience to call me to himself. I came to know the Lord as my Savior in center field on a professional baseball diamond. Ended up getting down on my knees and asking Christ to save me in center field. And so that's where the Christian journey started. From there, I started climbing the corporate ladder, as it were, jumped into corporate America, and then started working my way up through some really solid organizations, Arnold Industries, UPS, as well as Lilly Transportation. And so, you know, God has used me over the years in an executive level capacity, as you had mentioned, VP of Sales, Director, and towards the later part of my career with UPS, I was a global strategist. And it's just so interesting, Robbie, how God has taken each element of my career and really molded it for His glory. And I say that because He's led us to start Christian Leadership Worldview International, this training and development ministry, and you know, could not have done that except for the providence of God and how He has led vocationally throughout the years.
I'm looking forward to getting into more details about your ministry and also about your book, The Christian Leader's Worldview, that you just recently wrote. But I first of all have to ask you about this. I've known in my heart all my life that baseball is absolutely the most spiritual of the sports. But I want to learn a little bit more about your testimony. Tell us a little bit more about how the game of baseball led to your salvation.
Well, thank you for asking, because I praise the Lord for a Christian young man back in 1983 that was bold and willing to share the gospel message. At the time, I was unsaved, living a wretched life. And this young man, It was a ball at the time. Just was a ball witness. He befriended me and just really stuck with me, I guess if I could say it that way, and told me about Christ, told me about my need of salvation. And then towards the end of that season, in August of 1983, it was after a game one night. We finished playing somewhere around 10:30 at night. I went back to the dorm, put my jogging attire on, and ended up back at the baseball field. It was 2 or 3 miles away from where we were being housed. And I ended up back at the baseball field. The lights were still on, and there was not a soul around. And if you can imagine, you know, down here at the Greenville Drive, you know, having one of the players jump the fence, go out into center field, and then get down on my knees right there in center field, and I asked Christ to save me. So it was the result of a very bold and wonderful Christian man who took the time to tell me about my need for a Savior.
Wow, that's amazing. That just kind of goes back to reaffirm something we've talked about a lot on the Career Callings radio program, and that is this. Your workplace is your mission field. It doesn't. You don't have to go overseas and become a quote-unquote missionary. You are a missionary right where you are, impacting the people around you in your workplace. I'm so grateful, and I'm sure you are, Mike, that young man was willing to reach out to one of his coworkers to share the gospel of Christ. Awesome, awesome. I'm sure during your career, as in the careers of most people, there have been some great things that have happened and some not so great things that have happened. So tell us about your worst career failure and tell us a little bit about the lesson or lessons that you learned from that experience.
Yeah, wow. There's no question. Immediately what comes to mind was a situation when I was a vice president of sales at Arnold Industries, a publicly traded company. So we had just come off a fabulous year. And at that time, the next couple of years, a recession hit. And so it was a very, very difficult time. So I was managing at the time and had responsibility for 40 or 50 sales and sales managers. And so they had all of this success the prior year, and then they started and making, of course, a lot of money along the way, and then we hit the recession, and I was just devastated as you know, a lot of my quality salespeople were starting to leave for greener pastures, as it were, and so, you know, I remember vividly, I was at a Christian camp with my wife and my children. It was a family camp. And I was getting phone calls, you know, while on vacation, that I had one of my best couple of salespeople were leaving. And so I, you know, it was just a real heart-wrenching thing when you invest so much time in people, to have some of your real good people leave, especially after, you know, just a really successful prior year where we were getting together. You know, I think we went down to Disneyland and the families were getting together and just really getting to know them. And so the lesson that I learned through all that is you can never stay too close to the ground level. As an executive, while things may seem like they're going real well, and you know you're successful, there's never too much time that you can invest in your employees to get to know them, and not in a superficial way, Robbie, but in an authentic way. Be, you know, just be willing to build those relationships in a deeper and more meaningful way. I thought I had done a good job at it, but clearly, when I had, you know, an exodus of you know, maybe 10% of my sales force, I hadn't done a real good job with that. So, no question about it. That was the lesson, is always, always, you know, be in a relationship building mode and desire to get to know people.
I hear you. And you know, I kind of struggle with that. And One of the other hats that I wear is I'm a real estate instructor, and the folks that listen to the program have heard that before. And one of the things I like to joke about in one of my classes is that my wife and I never have anybody over to visit because we just hate people. and of course, that's not really true. Of course, we love people, but life is so busy that we just never seem to find time for doing the hospitable thing and have people over for dinner or whatever. And, you know, if we remember that, you know, our workplace is our mission field, everybody we touch is part of our mission field, we have to guard against that tendency to be so busy that we just aren't willing to build relationships, because people don't want to hear about the gospel nearly as much from you if you're ignoring them or just showing up and hitting them with the gospel and not ever doing anything else to show how much you care. And on a daily basis, on a regular basis. So we really need to get more into the habit of building relationships. It doesn't work just in the workplace from a business standpoint, like you mentioned, Mike. It's what we need to do on a spiritual level at the workplace, is just show how much we care, and then people will be much more receptive to the Word of God when we deliver it to them. Not to be solely negative in our conversation, tell us a little bit about your biggest career success and lessons learned from that.
Yeah, so on the front end of that whole experience with Arnold Industries as a vice president of sales, the Lord allowed me to secure that position. I was working as a director of sales and marketing at another company, Lilly Transportation, when I had a phone call from the president of the company asking me to come work for him. So, you know, God, there's no question that it was, you know, part of his plan for me to have that responsibility at Arnold Industries. And so I'm just so thankful that at age 38, relatively young age, I was allowed to have that level of responsibility and just, you know, to be able to try to bring my Christian experience and put on the mind of Christ every day at work and really try to live Christ in the workplace at a very high level. And I just pray that I had some kind of an impact.
What do you think led to that success, Mike? What do you think was the catalyst that led to that position in the first place?
Well, it's nothing. There's no human greatness or any self-aggrandizement at all. It's really, you know, God, from age 23 through age 38, my wife and I and our family truly tried to, you know, live a Christian life. We desired to want to be Christ-like, and I think that's the success. I mean, we were consistent in our Bible reading, consistent in our prayer life, and consistent, you know, just being among Christians. And so I think, you know, when you're disciplined, and by not saying that we've in any way arrived to any kind of spiritual plane, but that is attractive to people. And so as I was interviewing with the CEO and the president, I just pray that that's what they saw when they hired me. I think that's was the key to my success. And God gave me, and I don't know why, but, you know, sales and selling has always come very easy to me, and just being able to interact and build relationships with customers and people in general has come very easy.
You know, Mike, I heard two verses there. The first was Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And you were seeking God's purposes for your life in a personal way, and he rewarded you in a professional way financially. The other verse that came to mind was Proverbs 22:29. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men." And you mentioned that you were working hard hoping that they would take notice, and lo and behold, they absolutely did. And so that biblical truth was lived out in your life. And that's a wrap on segment number one for today's edition of Career Callings. See you in a few minutes after the break.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a healthcare home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you.
You fill your gas tank to make sure your car keeps running. Is your spirit any different?
It's like when I feel like I'm running out of gas and they're my filling station.
Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world. My place in this world.
Did you miss me? Mike LaPierre and I missed you. Welcome back to segment number two of the Career Callings radio program, where we help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now, Mike, the next question I want to ask you is this. How are you currently using your career to impact others for Christ? And be sure to talk specifically about your new book, The Christian Leader's Worldview.
Yeah, so having 32 years in the corporate world, you know, God allowed me to early retire at UPS at age 55. And it's an interesting story. 2 years ago, I applied to Clemson University to the MBA program. It was what I thought was on my bucket list. And yeah, I just wanted to get it checked off my bucket list. That's my human thinking, right? They asked this particular MBA program, they asked me to bring an organizational concept to the program. So I'm thinking, because I'm a capitalist, you know, 32 years in the corporate world, I'm thinking, all right, how am I going to, you know, make lots of money and franchise a sales training concept, because of sales is my background. Well, God had a very different plan, and he made that extremely evident to me. He wanted me to start a training and development ministry, but it was going to be a Christian leadership training and development ministry, and it was going to be a nonprofit. So now we travel the globe, and we have kind of a two-pronged approach, Robbie. We have a stained glass and a plain glass approach. So the stained glass, where we'll go in and do a seminar, a six-hour seminar on a Saturday, and then I'll preach Sunday morning and Sunday night at the local church, if it's a church-related venue. And then on the other hand, there's the plain glass approach, where I've been allowed over the last couple of years to talk in non-Christian environments and do training and development. But what we do is use a Bible-based concepts, but yet we may not use direct scripture because of, you know, some legal reasons. But it's all trying to proclaim the name of Christ through a leadership training and development venue. And so number two, God just recently, while I was getting my MBA, he led me to write the book, The Christian Leader's Worldview. And what the book entails is I take 50 plus topics that are prevalent in today's culture. And so I say, well, how should a Christian leader think about this, 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 and this? And it ranges everywhere from organizational behavior and leadership to project management to, you know, parenting, even athletics. I think people, if they read the chapter on athletics and what it should mean to them, is markedly different than we think about athletics normally. I think a lot of times, especially Christians, think about the fame, fortune, and all of the egos. And in the chapter, I wade through all of that and say, here's what athletics did for me. Here's how I used athletics to build my character as a Christian. And so I hope the book is broad enough where it reaches a real broad audience, and I'm excited about it. We've had 10 different executives at various levels, not only in the corporate world, but also in the educational world, that have endorsed the book, and I'm just so excited how God is using that book out there in the marketplace.
When you were talking about your book, it made me think about the fact that so many people, so many Christians on this planet think, you know what, we're supposed to have our Christianity at church, and then when we're outside the church, we're supposed to leave that Christianity back at home. And that's just not true. As you mentioned in your book, no, when you're a Christian everywhere. You take it with you wherever you go, and we ought to live it out in the workplace just as much as we live it out in church. So amen to that. Now, Mike, have you ever had a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, how did you react to that situation?
Yes, I have. And corporate America, and to be blunt, it's a very difficult place to operate. Generally, I mean, there's a spiritual battle going on there. You run into a lot of nice people, but you also run into a lot of self-serving and mean-spirited people in the corporate environment. And so that's always been a challenge when you're in a meeting and someone will, you know, start yelling and screaming at you personally, or you're having dialogue on a phone call, and, you know, down goes the phone, you know, you get slammed, the phone slammed on you. And so there's a lot of that mean spiritedness, that happens because people, that are not saved are trying to climb the corporate ladder. It's all about them. They really don't care about other people. And so they're trying to step on you or over you or through you. And so that's always been a challenge, is, you know, you just instantly start praying, you know, right there. And God, help me, to say the right thing, help me to think the right thoughts. And, so that is certainly, without question, that spiritual warfare. And it's so evident, when you're in the corporate world, when it rears its ugly head, you know what you're dealing with, and you just, again, try to answer and respond in a way that's pleasing to our Savior.
I'm so glad you said your first reaction to dealing with that situation was to pray about it. I mean, so many times we try to tackle our problems with our own human strength and our own human power, and we leave prayer for the last resort. It ought to be the first resort to resolve any kind of issues whatsoever, especially challenges to our faith in the workplace. Mike, tell us about a book that you would recommend for our listeners to read, and why. And we of course know, as we've established here, that the Bible is the number one book. And of course, the Christian Leader's Worldview ought to be on the same shelf with the Bible there. But after those two books, what would you recommend for our folks to read, and why?
Oh, there's a book that I read on a regular basis, over and over again, probably a couple times a year. And it's a book called The Tabernacle. The Tabernacle by M.R. Dehan, M.D. It is just fascinating, because it clearly lays out, you know, it goes through every aspect of the tabernacle and how it's symbolic of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And it talks about the blood of Christ and the sacrifice. And so, you know, the blood of Christ is the beginning and the end. And as business people, as entrepreneurs, you know, if we can understand that, we will do well, in the business, in business, in our vocation. So The Tabernacle, is just a phenomenal book. I encourage everyone to buy it.
Amen and amen. Well, Mike LaPierre, I know I have been blessed today by our conversation, and I know the folks listening have been as well. So how can people connect with you if they'd like to learn more about Mike LaPierre?
Yeah, thank you, Robbie. I would love people to contact me at clwi.org. And that would be Mike at clwi.org. If you go onto our website, there's also a place right on there you can contact me. Or you can send my personal email. It's Mike Lappi. That would be MikeLapi @gmail.com. MikeLapi@gmail.com. Either of those ways, I would love to interact and talk to you about, Christianity, about Christian leadership, especially in the marketplace. And, I just really look forward to getting to know you on a personal level.
Mike LaPierre, thanks so much for being a guest on the Career Callings Radio Show, sir, and you have a great day.
Thank you, Robbie. It was a blessing. Great to be with you.
Well, that's a wrap on another edition of Career Callings. And as always, you can get a copy of today's on-air broadcast at careercallings.net/radio, as well as access to all the bonus interview material, things Mike and I discussed that we could not fit into the on-air portion of the program. You can also subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker Radio, or TuneIn Radio. And be sure to remember to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
One of the things we do at Career Callings is administer Crown Ministries Career Direct Assessment, created by the late Larry Burkett. And one of the things we look at in that assessment is someone's personality. And we crank out a list of personality strengths and personality weaknesses. And those strengths kind of are a clue on what types of work you would be suited for. And the weaknesses are clues as to what types of work you would not be suited for. So with that brief setup, Mike LaPierre, tell me what your biggest weakness is in the workplace, and then we'll come back and talk about your biggest strength.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I would point to real quickly in 2016, and that's the technology side of things. There's no question that I need to get better at technology. Come a long way in understanding technology and the application, but yet compared to some of the millennials today, I am just nowhere close to where I need to be. And then secondly, I tend to be I don't do real well with a whole lot of detail, just by the nature of the positions that I've had. And as a global strategist at UPS, we tend to focus on bigger picture, 3 to 5 years out. So I'm always thinking about what could be, and maybe in a broader context, and at times, the detail things pass me by. So I would point to detail, and also the technology front is some areas that I need to continue to improve on.
How about your biggest strength? What would you say that is?
Yeah, my ability to God-given ability to communicate and to build relationships with people. For whatever reason, I get to befriend people quickly, and we build trust and confidence in one another. And so I would say that's it.
When it comes to your gospel witness in the workplace, people are going to be more likely to listen to you when they respect you. And one of the ways they're going to respect you is if you do an outstanding, excellent job in the workplace. And one of the ways you're going to do that is to be in a workplace that plays to your strengths. And, you could spend a lifetime trying to shore up your weaknesses, and maybe you'll get a little bit better. But like I like to tell people, I could train for decades to be a fantastic opera singer, and it's never going to happen because I do not have a singing voice. So one of the things we need to do to be excellent in the workplace is to find work that God created us to do, the types of work that mesh with our natural strengths, and that will enable us to be more excellent, therefore more respectable, therefore more listened to in the workplace. Now, Mike, has there ever been a time in your life where you were a little bit confused on which direction your career should take, and how did God clear that smoke for you?
Well, so I just got back from playing my first season of professional baseball with the Expos, and at age 23, I got that dreaded release letter from the Montreal Expos. So, thank you for your services, but you're no longer needed. And had opportunity to sign with a couple other teams, but the Lord, through my salvation experience, took away the desire. And for me to say that sounds strange, because I was, up until age 23, that was my life. Baseball was my life. But when I get that release letter, I said, well, I don't understand it, but I don't have the desire. So I was in a little perplexing situation where, okay, what do I do now? And so I was a little confused, but the Lord really cleared it up for me very, very quickly. In about 3 months, I was networking with a neighbor friend of mine, who was a manager at Roadway Express in the transportation sector. And I had taken an interview in college with Roadway Express, in which I thought the interview didn't go very well. But lo and behold, you know, God opened that door back up again for me. And I realized that even though I was a very young Christian, that, hey, this door is being opened. I need to explore to see if there is a good fit. And that's exactly what I did. Had a series of interviews and ended up getting the position and started in the management training program in the transportation sector. So, you know, I'm just, really appreciative of now looking back how God closed one door and he used the baseball for salvation purposes and then opened the other door for me to start a corporate career.
Two things came to mind when you were talking, Mike. The first one was Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. There's such a great comfort in knowing that God is going to direct us in the right direction. We just need to just listen to his leading. Number two, something else that came to mind was the power of network. I read a statistic a long time ago that the vast majority of new hires don't come from online applications, et cetera, et cetera. They come from people knowing people, networking. And even though, of course, the most important reason we ought to network with people is so that we can impact them for Christ whenever he gives us an opportunity to share the gospel with them, on a business level, we ought to network with people because that's the best way that we're going to find work that is suitable to us, for us, and in an environment that we fit into. So never, never, never ignore the power of building relationships with people. Mike, has the Lord ever led you down a career path that just did not make any sense to you, or maybe you just did not want to go down? And what happened with that situation? What did you learn from it?
Well, that's a great point. And I'm thinking back, I think the transition when I was in the transportation sector, less than truckload, it was my first job was Roadway Express. And then, you know, I got a phone call from a headhunter that asked me to go to work as a director of sales and marketing for a leasing company, a truck leasing company, which is really an entirely different market segment. And so, you know, I prayed about it, and I didn't quite understand, you know, well, Lord, you know, this is my area of expertise for the last 15 years, but now you're leading me over into an entirely different career path. And so it didn't make sense to me, but yet I did not think that the Lord was shutting that door. I mean, it felt like he was opening the door and he wanted me to go through it. And I'm looking back, I'm so glad that I did, because I just got more experience in another industry that helped me in the rest of my career. So, that was the experience. Is that he was changing me and allowing me to go down allowed me to play in another industry that at the time didn't make sense, but certainly makes a lot of sense right now.
Yeah, and what would you say is the biggest lesson you learned there on how to obey the Lord?
Yeah, be flexible. While you want to have family goals and personal goals and also career and vocational goals, is put the plans together. But it's that old adage, you know, that allow God to change those plans for you. You know, you can just don't have them cast in stone, because sometimes God will take you in other areas and other vocations that he wants you to go, and just be flexible enough and close enough to the Lord, have a God consciousness where you know it's of the Lord, and just be willing to step out and go.
God's ways are higher than our ways, huh, pal?
Amen.
We just got to be willing to listen to him, don't we? What would you say is your number one personal habit that drives your career success?
Well, excuse me, the personal habit I would say that derives my success is that I spend, you know, every morning studying the Word of God. And then I also have two or three, sometimes four books going at the same time. And I just, for my own you know, personally, the way I am, I don't want to get bored. So I like to have three or four books that I have going so that it just keeps me stimulated. But they're all Christian-oriented books, some on or a lot on leadership and the marketplace. And so it just keeps me fresh relative to staying close to God, but B, understanding my responsibility in the marketplace.
Just out of curiosity, about what time do you get up in the morning and about how long do you spend doing that reading?
Yeah, I'd love to be able to say I'm an early riser and early to bed, but I'm not. I get up about 7 o'clock, go to bed around midnight. My best times of the day are probably from 9 to midnight. I really seem to, you know, just like I'm not an early morning person, but I'll tell you what, I have my spot that I go to every day. And for a couple of hours between the Bible and Christian material, and I just read and meditate and pray and to think about, you know, how God is going to use me for that day, and also what am I going to accomplish for Christ during the day.
Good deal. What would you say is your number one business habit that you consistently adhere to that that drives your career success?
Planning. Strategic planning, always being able to think about whether it's the week, whether it's the month, or 2 or 3 years out. You know, that's been a gift, a spiritual gift, I suppose, is just being, you know, gift of administration and planning. And so I think that's my strength, is being able to see things down the road, or perhaps how they might develop down the road. And then, you know, putting it down on paper. It's great to be able to contemplate things, and but being able to structure a strategic plan or a plan, you got to get it down on paper and or, you know, in Excel, and just hold yourself accountable to the things that you've designed and the goals that you're trying to hit is really. I see the Excel is a great way for you to hold yourself accountable.
Share a productivity tool, maybe internet-based or non-internet-based, that helps you achieve maximum effectiveness in the workplace.
Sure, and I guess I was being vulnerable early on in the conversation, and full disclosure, I'm not a real technology person, but yet what I've found for me on the internet, Google AdWords, I've had a lot of success with that, driving people to the website, because, you know, what we're attempting to do is leave a marker on people. We want to leave Christ's marker on as many people as we possibly can. So on the website that we have, clwi.org, we have a robust leadership. We do articles and illustrations. We'll have position papers. We'll have links to other leaders. And so I want to drive as many people as I can to our website for them to read the Christian material. I want to leave Christ's marker on as many people as I possibly can. And so that's a way, that tool, the Google AdWords, is a tool that we use with a lot of success.
A lot of our listeners are either business owners or would like to be business owners in the near future. So tell us what three things you would suggest to someone who's an entrepreneur on how to start and build a successful business.
The three things, without question, read your Bible every single day before you go to work. Pray every single day before you go to work. And then thirdly, you really want to build relationships with your people. It's so critical for them to know, for your employees and your customers to know, that you genuinely care about them. You authentically care about them. That's what you want to do, is read, pray, and then care for people. It's those are the three things that I would recommend for people listening to your show.
I tell you what, it just makes me think of something we've talked about multiple times today, and that's the passage in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And all the things that would be added unto you that Jesus was talking about were the financial provision, the food, and so on and so forth, things we normally associate with our workplace. So I'm so glad that you mentioned you start your day with your Bible reading and your prayer. And if we seek the Lord first, He's going to do what's necessary to take care of us in our other areas of life. Now, if you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
Well, for the unsaved, of course, is you know, get to know your Savior, accept that free gift of salvation. For the saved, it's really just pray, read your Bible, and then understand your spiritual gifts. Because if you understand your spiritual gifts, there is probably a very good likelihood that there's application to the workplace. And if you can take your spiritual gifts to the workplace, what a blessing. What a blessing to allow God to use this sacred spiritual gift, you know, while you're in the marketplace, while you're interacting with non-believers, because I think God will use that, those spiritual gifts, mightily, when you're out in the workplace.